What a great chapter of God's Word this really is. It has been given various titles, one of which is the Hall of Fame, of names of Old Testament believers who fought the good fight and who paid the price and went through with God. And what a list this is, and what a Hall of Fame of precious names we read in this chapter. We're going to start our reading at verse 1, and we'll finish down at verse 19. Hebrews 11, the verse 1 through to 19. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon his staff. We'll end there, knowing that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious, infallible word. We're turning once again to Hebrews chapter 11. And I would commend the reading of this entire chapter to you at some stage. And I have no doubt you'll be richly blessed and encouraged as you read this chapter of God's word. Before we bring the Lord's message, let me just turn again in prayer to the Lord, and let's all seek his face as we listen to the preaching of the word. Our gracious, eternal God, we thank thee for this church and for this congregation. We thank thee for all who are gathered with us, and we pray that thou wouldst solemnize our hearts. Lord, give us that attentive ear and the understanding heart that we might understand thy truth and lay it up within our souls, and help us that we might not sin against thee. Encourage us now, we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to think of the faith of Abraham. We're looking at his life and considering some of the characteristics of the faith of this man of God. Hebrews chapter 11 is an exposition of the subject of faith, an exposition that draws heavily from the lives of men and women who in the Old Testament era lived by faith. These were Old Testament saints who lived by faith in God. After presenting a definition of faith in the first three verses of the chapter, the apostle then proceeds to set forth an outline of the life of faith in verses 4 through to 17. But in verses 4, 5, and 7, we have Enoch mentioned, Abel mentioned, and Noah mentioned. And in verse 4, we have the commencement of the life of faith, and that begins with Enoch, or rather with Abel. The life of faith begins when the sinner is awakened to see his need and is moved by the Spirit of God to rest in Christ for his salvation. Abel recognized that only through the shedding of blood and by offering sacrifice could he be made right with God. And his offering typified and looked forward to the offering Christ made upon the cross when Jesus died for the sins of the world. And so the commencement of the life of faith is seen here in verse 4, and it starts when we come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. At the cross, we sing sometimes, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So we have the commencement of the life of faith. And then we have the character of the life of faith in verse 5, dealing with Enoch. And it says Enoch was translated, God took him because he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's the character of the life of faith. The life of faith in character is a walking with the Lord. It is a pleasing the Lord. It is knowing God. And it is pleasing him. That's what the verse tells us. And so Enoch pleased God through all his life, living it in separation from wickedness, from worldliness, and from ungodliness. And of course, that ought to characterize the life of faith of the Christian. And in verse 7, we have the consummation of the life of faith in Noah and the ark. The life of faith is consummated in the safe arrival of God's saints on the new earth, brought about at the great deluge of the judgment of sinners. The flood was the judgment of God upon sinners, and the ark was the savior of 8 people, Noah's family, and they arrived safely through that judgment upon the new earth that emerged after the flood. And thank God there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the consummation of the life of faith will end there when we land upon, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, upon the new earth and the new heavens, which shall be brought about through the power of God. And so following this basic outline of the life of faith, the apostle then proceeds to give further details of such a life, viewing it from various angles and focusing on various aspects of the experience of living by faith. And he goes on to use many people as examples. And Abraham appropriately appears at the beginning of this section, in that he is designated in the scriptures as the father of the faithful. In Romans 4, verse 11, we're told that Paul says concerning Abraham that he is the father of all them that believe. And among other things, this expression indicates that Abraham as a believer is the one after whose likeness other believers, that is, his spiritual seed, are conformed. There is a family likeness between Abraham and every true Christian. For if we are Christ's, the Bible tells us, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Galatians 3, verse 7, we're told, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And Christ teaches us in John chapter 8 and verse 39 that those who are the spiritual seed of Abraham are identified as such by doing the works of Abraham. Doing the works of Abraham. And here in our text, here in Hebrews 11, some of the works of Abraham are disclosed, made known. Some of the spiritual works that he performed as the father of the faithful. And it is interesting that Abraham receives more attention in this chapter than any of the other individuals that are mentioned. Actually, while only one verse, or two at the most, is devoted to each person mentioned, with the exception, that is, of Moses, about whom also a large piece of the chapter is taken up with. But the entire portion between verse 8 and 19, between those verses, is focused on Abraham. And in these verses, many of the faithful works of Abraham are outlined for us. And we want to consider very especially verses 8, 9, and 10, where we have three characteristics of Abraham's life clearly set before us. Three features of the life of faith as lived by Abraham. These three are Abraham's obedience, Abraham's occupation, and Abraham's outlook. We have his obedience, his occupation, and his outlook. If you notice verse 8, note the flow of the words, "By faith Abraham obeyed." That's the gist of the verse. By faith Abraham obeyed. Here we have Abraham's obedience. Clear connection between his faith and his obedience. Obedience is the dominant feature in his experience. He obeyed the Lord. It is seen in all the patriarchs and all mentioned in the chapter, but it especially stands out in Abraham's case. And you'll note that in each case, there is a particular spiritual quality underlined, each shown to be inseparably connected with faith and to spring from faith. Verse 4, we've mentioned that already concerning Abel. We have faith's trust in the divinely appointed sacrifice. And of course, we need faith in the finished work of Christ. The Lord Jesus died for us. In verse 5, we have faith's walk in holiness. Enoch walked with God, close with him, in holiness and in the fear of God. Our life of faith must reflect that as well. Verse 7, faith's reverence for God. Noah reverenced the Lord by obedience over 120 years in taking to build the ark. And all through, he reverenced the Lord by his faith. And Abraham, in these verses 8 to 19, Abraham's faith is characterized by obedience. By obedience. Note the secret of his obedience. His obedience, I believe, is a matter for marvel and wonder. He left Ur of the Chaldees at the age of 70. And he went to Haran. And then at the age of 75, he left Haran and went into Canaan, the land of promise that God had promised to Abraham and to his seed. He was commanded, wasn't he, to leave his homeland in Genesis chapter 12, in the opening verses. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I shall show thee of, God said. His was obedience. He left his homeland, he left his people, and he left the security that surrounded him there. For the uncertain life of the pilgrim. And at first sight, this might seem harsh, and it might appear to be demanding. But Abraham obeyed. He obeyed. What was the secret of his obedience? The secret was God's call. The divine call of God to his heart. He had received that call, as the verse 8 shows us here in Hebrews 11. And Abraham heard God's call. His heart was touched by it. It was changed by it. And in obedience, he went through. And the secret of his obedience is the call of God to his heart. And if Abraham had not obeyed, there would have been no further calls to his heart from God. And no further light would shine upon his path, because disobedience shuts out the light of God and shuts out the voice of God. And until there is repentance through disobedience, and until there is repentance because we haven't obeyed the Lord, there'll be no further light to shine on our pathway. And if anyone present this morning has been living in disobedience to the will of God and to the word of God and to what God has revealed to them, then, friend, it is time to repent and to get back to the Lord so that God might shine upon your path a fresh light and a new revelation showing you the way forward. We get into a maze of darkness when we disobey the Lord. We get into a state of quagmire and we get stuck and we don't know what way to turn. But the only way to know the will of God is to obey God and to obey the gospel and to obey the word that is given to us and that the light that shines upon our path. And so Abraham received a call from the Lord. And we all do in a sense, don't we? We receive a call through his word. God's calling us through the preaching and through the teaching and through the reading of his word. He's calling. And like Abraham, let us obey. But we notice the significance of his obedience as well. He left all, everything. He left all to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. That is, he submitted to God, giving up all that he had in Ur of the Chaldees, knowing that he would have nothing in this life, nothing permanent, nothing definite, left an inheritance in Ur of the Chaldees, one that he had possessed, literally, to go into a land where he would possess nothing, living the life of a pilgrim. And doesn't it teach us that the significance of this is that we are not to live as though this world was our home, as though this world was the end of all and the be end of all. This world's only a passing place. It is not our home. We're passing through. And one day, if we should gain the whole world, we will leave it behind. And we can't take it with us. And so, like Abraham, let us obey the Lord and sit, as it were, loosely to this world. Oh yes, there are things we need in this world, and our needs will be met by the Lord, and the Lord will give us all things that are needful for life, and none of his people will ever be left wanting. But we need to sit loose to the world, lest we get attached to it and we become detached from the Lord and from his ways. The significance of his obedience. He submitted all and followed the Lord. Notice the strength of his obedience. We're told he went out not knowing, verse 8, whether he went. That denotes a strong faith and a strong obedience. Not too many of us would like to leave home and without having a prior arrangement knowing where we're going to and what lies ahead. And that would be difficult. But here's a man with implicit trust and faith in God obeys. And the strength of that obedience, he went out not knowing whether he went. God did not specify to him where he was to go, and yet he obeyed. Obedience in Abraham was strong enough not to question God's wisdom, not to question God's love, not to question God's power. Strong obedience marks Abraham's life. God only, if you turn to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 3, you notice in verse 1 of that chapter, God only had to command Abraham once to sacrifice Isaac. That's the chapter when he was asked to go up Mount Moriah, lay his son upon the altar and offer him for a sacrifice. And God called him in verse 1 saying, Abraham, just calling him once. And we're told Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his ass and brought all the equipment with him and made his way up to Mount Moriah. And on the way, as he brought his son Isaac along with him, Isaac says, look, behold the wood and behold the fire. But, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham just calmly said to his son Isaac, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. What a picture of the cross. What a picture of Christ. Didn't God the Father provide a sacrifice in sending his son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to die upon the cross for our sins? And how we praise God for that. But you'll notice how, as you read on down through that chapter, that in verses 10 and 11, that God had to call Abraham twice to stop sacrificing Isaac. The altar was prepared and everything was ready, and Abraham laid his son out on the top of that sacrifice, lifted up his arm with the knife in his hand, and was about to slay his son in obedience to God the Father. And God had to call Abraham and then Abraham again in order to get him to stop sacrificing his son. Such was the depth and the strength of this man's faith in God and trust in God and obedience to God that God called him twice not to lay his hand upon the lad. And Abraham then lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold a ram caught in a thicket, and that became the substitute for Isaac. And Abraham sacrificed the ram instead of Isaac. What a picture of what Christ has done for us. How he was sacrificed instead of us. We should have died. We should have suffered. We should have taken the pain of the judgment of our sin. We should have wallowed in the suffering of the judgment of God, because we deserved it. But Christ took our place, and he died for us. And thank God, the Lord laid on him the judgment of us all. And therefore, we're free, like Isaac. The substitute took our place. Thank God for the strength. Notice the separation of his obedience. The text says that he was called to go out, verse 8. And then later in the text, it says he went out. He went out. The separation of this obedience underlines the spiritual truth that the evidence of the regenerating call of God is genuine conversion. A genuine change, breaking away from the old life, breaking away in separation from the world, from the devil, and from the pleasures of the flesh. It is impossible that he should continue in the old manner of life. And in keeping with the divine purpose of God in salvation, we're called to a life of separation from the world and from worldliness and wickedness and sin and even of ourselves, selfishness. We're called to live a life for the glory of God. That's his purpose. For as much as ye have not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. And because of that, we live a life of separation unto God, separate from the world. Yes, the world may go its way, but God wants us to go God's way. Abraham's obedience. What a man. Look at his occupation. In verse 9, we see that which occupied the remainder of Abraham's life. What was it? It was sojourning. The word is preceded by the term by faith. And so by faith he sojourned. By faith he sojourned, which means that he entered into the life of faith in a most vivid fashion. He entered into it enthusiastically. He entered into it wholeheartedly. He was never anything else but a pilgrim for the rest of his days on this earth. And it illustrates that when a sinner is called out of this world by God unto salvation, it is to be occupied with this life of faith in Christ, following Christ the rest of his days. No turning back, but going on with God, pressing on the upward way. Notice the place of his occupation. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. The land of promise was Canaan, granted to Abraham and to his seed. And later, under Joshua, they were to come into possession of this land. And they occupied it for many, many generations. But Abraham was a stranger. The word strange means belonging to another. Belonging to another. Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. You know, this world ought to be strange to God's people. This world ought not to be a place for God's people to enjoy, because their enjoyment is in Christ and in another land, looking forward to another land, a heavenly land. Another home, a heavenly home. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And the joys of heaven and the joys of that new world ought to fill the believer's heart as he or she journeys towards that new city and that new home. Notice the picture of his occupation, dwelling in tabernacles. A picture that shows us that Abraham had no lasting dwelling place here. A tabernacle is something you erect and something you take down, like a tent, and you move on. And that was a picture of his occupation here in this life. And Abraham remained, as I've said, loose to the things of the world. And he kept close to the God of heaven. How in these days we need to live close to God. away from the things of the world, close to God. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And then notice the partners with him in the occupation, Isaac and Jacob. Isaac had dwelt with Abraham for 75 years, and Jacob for about 15 years. And they shared in the same pilgrimage. And all of us together today as brothers and sisters in Christ, that is, if you're saved this morning, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. And we share together in this occupation of following the Lord in full obedience and in knowing him all the days of our lives. That's something we have in common, and we share it together. And you'll notice Abraham's outlook in verse 10. He looked for heaven, didn't he? He looked for a city which hath foundations. He didn't find one in his days in Canaan, but he looked for one. That is, he looked for heaven, likened to a city with foundations, the antithesis of the tents in which Abraham dwelt. There was no foundation for the tent. There was nothing secure for it to rest upon. But he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. I wonder, is that your soul's outlook this morning? Is it the direction that you look towards heaven? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and resting upon him? Knowing that here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. And all we have here, whether it be little or much, we'll leave it behind. We can't take it with us. It's no use to us in the long term. Let us therefore lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Let us lay up spiritual treasure, laboring for the Lord, living for Christ, being obedient to his word, following on to know him day by day, looking to Christ and looking for a city, looking for heaven. And it's true, when I have visited believers who were nearing the end of the journey, and it's true in every case, and I've visited many over the years, comes to the end of the journey, it's their desire and their common desire, Lord, take me home. I long for heaven. I long to be with Christ. And when we get to that part of life's journey, I'm very sure that we too will have that longing for home, for heaven, to see his face and to be with Christ, our glorious and blessed Redeemer, for all eternity. May God keep us looking to him. Keep us in obedience like Abraham. Keep us sitting loose, as it were, to the things of this life, but close to God, being drawn closer day by day. May the Lord be pleased to bless his own word to all of our hearts. O God, our Father in heaven, we pray that thou would give us the faith like Abraham. Help us, Lord, to go through with God, to follow thee more closely day by day, to love thee more dearly day by day, and to serve thee more reverently day by day. And grant, O God, that until Jesus comes or calls, we might be found faithful even at thy footstool. Part us with thy blessing now. Go with us and abide with us. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.